Our reading tonight is from the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. Verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were in the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Now look over at the Acts, please. The Acts in chapter 16. And we read at verse number 13. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now turn back, please, to the second book in your Bible, the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 8. And verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. The next chapter, please, for a verse. Chapter 9. And we read at verse number 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And that will suffice for reading. I want you to notice that in our readings, we have God putting on an eternal record how individuals responded in their heart when they got a message from God. Samuel learned a lesson in the home of Jesse, for he learned this, that God seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And I want each one of us to sit tonight conscious that God is watching the response within the heart as we get a message from God. Did you notice a Rahab as she heard how God saved a people. As she heard that the blood of the Lamb applied was sufficient to shelter from the judgment of God. And the power of God in delivering a people from slavery. Oh, she said, we heard how God saved the people. And we heard how those that resisted His will come under His judgment. And she said, did not our heart melt within us? A heart that was melted with news of salvation. Then a great day for Europe. The first day in Europe, I thank God for it every day when the gospel reached our continent where I live. And a lady, the first time she heard the message of the gospel, I want to encourage you tonight, it's possible for you to get saved in tonight's meeting. And as she listened to the gospel for the first time, yes, she was at a prayer meeting. Yes, she was no idolater. Yes, she was religiously inclined. But the gospel's something different. And salvation is something different as to being merely religious. Did she resent it? No, her heart was open to embrace its truth. And in her first gospel meeting, this lady got saved. Then Pharaoh was a privileged man. For Moses, the servant of God, the greatest prophet apart from Christ that God ever raised up, Pharaoh was privileged to hear a message from Moses. Ah, but more than a message from Moses. For Moses went into the king and he said, thus saith the Lord. Pharaoh, you're getting a message from God. There was a left-handed man went into the presence of a king one day. And he used words that a gospel preacher can use. For said that left-handed man, I have a message from God unto thee. There's some in tonight's meeting and life will never be the same for you again. For you're getting a message from God. For one of the terms that your Bible uses for the message that we are privileged to tell forth, that it is the gospel of God, is a message that comes from God. And a man that got a message from God and he hardened his heart. Friend, God's watching your heart tonight. And putting it on record as to how you respond to a message that comes with all the authority of heaven, the gospel of God. I would say that Rahab was the most unexpected case of conversion in Jericho. Oh, sin had brought her low. But I want you to notice that grace lifted her up. For her name appears 3 times in your New Testament. That great chapter that sets forth the worthies of faith. Men and women that proved that confidence in their God was sufficient to carry them through life. And in that chapter we read of 2 women. And one was privileged to be the wife of the friend of God. And her name means princess. And in the same chapter we have Rahab the harlot. What am I learning? That the best woman, the princess, she needed saving grace. And the poorest creature that sin has brought so low, the grace of God can lift her up. I want to tell you, we join with the apostle when we declare that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. James just wrote one short epistle. And in that epistle we learn that James was a man. And he believed where there was genuine conversion to God, there was a change in the life. James would not have believed that a man had faith in Christ if there wasn't a change in his life. James, tell me, could you tell me anybody that satisfied you that they were really saved? Oh, well, he said, Abraham, there was evidence in his life that he was a man that had his confidence in God. Ah, but he was the friend of God, an outstanding man, James. Could you mention anybody else? Oh, he said there was Rahab the harlot. And there was such a change in this woman's life, said James, I haven't got a doubt that she was a genuine convert to God. Ah, but her name appears again, you know. And it appears in the royal line from which Christ sprang. And who do I find her married to? I find her married to a prince in the tribe of Judah. Oh, what are we learning? That God can take up the creature that sin has brought low and liberate them from the power of sin and fit her to be a princess in the tribes of Judah. This is Rahab. How did she respond? Oh, she said, we heard a message. We heard of the power of God in salvation. We heard of the value of the blood of the Lamb to the eye of God. We looked at it another night. And the promise to the Israelite that night when God worked in their salvation was this, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I was visiting in the prison one day, and a man asked me a question. He said, tell me, do you think that a murderer could be forgiven? I said, my dear man, I'm not here to tell you what I think, but I can tell you what the Bible declares. Oh, the word of Christ was this, all manner of sin shall be forgiven the sons of men. And there's a verse in our Bible that gospel preachers love. Oh, will you listen to it? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And all that will stand before the throne and people heaven, not one will boast of his baptism, or boast of the particular of company of people that he associated with. But every saved man from every tribe and nation will join in our praise to one unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse a sinner, and the power of God to deliver a sinner from the slavery of sin, and to fit her to be a princess. Not only can God fit the sinner for a place in scenes of glory, but he can fit a sinner saved by grace to live for God's glory in the land of Australia. There's no message like the message of the gospel. Yes, she said, when we heard of God's power in salvation, and we heard of the doom of those that resist his will, a people saved, she said, and a people under the judgment of God. Oh, she said, give me a true token. Oh, give me something sure that when the chronicle of Jericho is written, that I'll be numbered among the saved. And she said, did not her heart melt? Oh, a heart soft with news of salvation. There's an incident I like to tell. One night I was in a prayer meeting, and a young lady came in, and she waited after the prayer meeting. And she said, I came to the Sunday school here until I was a girl in my teens. And after I left and started to work, she said, I went over to London. And after some years, I married an Englishman. and we settle down to live our life without God. That's a sad home. Shortly afterwards, she said there was a baby boy given to us. And one night I was putting him off in his cot, and with a motherly heart, she said to her husband, "George, isn't he lovely?" He said, "Would you part with him?" "Oh," she said, "I couldn't think of it." And when we went into the living room, she said, I burst into tears. He said, "What's wrong?" She says, "George, I have just remembered that God had one son. He gave him to die for the like of you and me." And she said, "George, we have just ignored him." He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And she said, "I told him what I learned in the Sunday school, that God so loved the world," man, that should melt your heart, "that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him to the death of the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And she said, "I've come back to tell you that through what I learnt in the Sunday school, both my husband and I have got saved." Our heart was melted to think of the love of God in giving his son. There's a hymn I like. What makes it significant is this. It was translated from the Russian language to our language. That is, they sang it in Russia before we sang it. And a verse that touches my heart when I think of God, his son not sparing. Sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled, he died to take away my sin. A heart melted with news of salvation. Friend, God's looking at your heart. Putting it on record how your heart responds to the message of God's love. How your heart responds to the invitation that comes from the compassionate Christ, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." A heart melted, but a heart opened. We say the first time that the gospel was preached in Europe, and the apostle, he preached its message at a prayer meeting. A good place to go. A good exercise. And yet a woman at a prayer meeting to learn her need of salvation. Oh, I'm thinking of Cornelius. He was an outstanding man, but he was told to send for Peter. You know, some men run away from a preacher. And some men will send their wife to the door if they think the preacher's at the door. But here's a man and he was told to send for the preacher. What'll he tell me? He'll tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. How did Cornelius receive a man like that? Well, he said, "We are all here present to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. If the message comes from God, I'm prepared to embrace it." What a man to preach to Lydia at the prayer meeting. For he could tell that all who knew him would bear testimony that from his youth, after the very straitest sect of his religion, he lived a Pharisee. He said, "Woman," said the apostle, "from my very youth I was a most religious boy, but I wasn't a Christian." He said, "If any man think he hath whereof he may boast or glory, and I more, circumcised the 8th day, an ordinance given by God, and I had it, and I wasn't a Christian." Do you know that baptism never put one in God's kingdom? and a man in your Bible, and it was the brethren who baptized him, and he was to learn that thine heart is not right in the sight of God. The ordinance right, but the heart's still not right. Oh, he said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, as touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. This man had everything like that. Oh, dear lady, he said, there was an experience in my life when down in the dust I learned that all that I boasted in and gloried in was of no value. What did you learn that day? He could tell you the very hour of the day in which it happened. He could tell you the road that he was on when it happened. What happened, Paul? Well, he said, just in the dust I took my place as the chief of sinners. And what was his language after conversion? Oh, he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he said, no man can learn the meaning of the cross and boast in aught else. The cross of Christ is all my boast. His blood my only plea. My passport to the realms of bliss is Jesus died for me. Oh, he said, the Son of God loved me. Oh, it's personal. And gave himself for me. When I was a boy at school, I would have told you that God loved the world. I would have told you that Christ died for sinners. If you had asked me the night of conversion, Sam, what has brought peace to your heart? What has given you the assurance that all is well? I would have told you that Christ has died for me, and that's enough. It was for me, yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so rich, so free. Oh, wondrous love. I'll shout and sing, he died for me, my Lord the King. Woman, all that I would boast in is the cross of Christ. All that I rest on for eternity is the fact that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And her heart just embraced its truth. Friend, God's watching your heart tonight. Putting it on record as to how you respond to a message that comes from God. And Moses went into Pharaoh and he said, thus saith the Lord. You know, if you had come, we appreciate you coming. If you had come to hear men expressing their opinions, well, you would write to judge them. And you would have liberty to discard our own personal opinion. But friend, you're getting a message from God. It's the message concerning his Son that he gave to the cross to take the sinner's place and bear the judgment that was our due. Oh, said Rahab, no woman could harden her heart against a message like that. Said Moses, thus saith the Lord. Pharaoh, you're getting a message from God. How did Pharaoh respond? He hardened his heart. Resisted a message that came from God. And did you notice that the hardening process continued? His heart was hardened. Would we have some in the meeting tonight? And you go back to days in life when you were easier reached. Possibly when you thought of God's Son upon a cross, wounded for our transgressions, and bruised for our iniquity. There was a softness here. There was a feeling. Oh, when you thought of the Lord's coming, and just in a moment of time, the save gone. And the sinner goes home to a lonely home. A husband goes home and there's no wife. A family wakes in the morning and there's no mother. just in a moment of time, not only will separate close companions, but will close the door of mercy forever. Oh, said Christ, in view of that, strive to enter in. And there was a softness there. When you heard of the doom of the sinner, oh friend, Christ spoke of a man in hell. And he allowed the man to speak, and he said, I am tormented in this flame. Friend, there's a man in hell tonight, and in torment, and it brought a softness in your heart. And tonight, would there be a hardening? And did you notice that God said, Pharaoh, you want a hard heart, and I'll give you a hard heart. Oh, friend, I would dread that. Would there be a softness? Would there be an openness in your heart to embrace the truth of God? For we read of Abraham's conversion, and it was this. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Could you take in the words of Christ tonight, when he bore our sins? Would you be longing for salvation, said Christ, it is finished. Could you believe that? Any reason why you shouldn't trust him? And as God looks upon the heart and watches men and women on their way home tonight, I wonder, would there be a resistance within your heart? God looking upon the hearts of men.